Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Introducing touch-free payments from PayPal, a safe way for your customers to pay. Whether you're a market seller,
I'll take two tomatoes and a cucumber,
poodle pamperer, piano tuner, or plumber. Signing up to accept touch-free payments for your business is easy. Simply download the PayPal app and display your own unique QR code for your customers to scan. Touch-free QR code payments. No seller fees until 2021. Not applicable to PayPal Here transactions. Other fees may apply. Shop safe with PayPal.
Hi, everybody. Thank you for listening to It's Time. And now, a special offer for all my listeners. I've been enjoying doing the championship audios and video introductions you've been ordering through BruceBuffer.com. Also, all the special occasions like weddings, birth of babies, you name it, I do it. Your wish is my command. So with that being said, for my friend TJ, let me show you how it's done. And now, it's time! Introducing the champion! Fighting out of the red corner, he is a champion podcaster! He stands 6 feet tall at a weight of whatever he wants, presenting the producing champion of the world, TJ DeSantis. Your wish is my command. I can't wait to hear from you.
Hi, this is Stephanie from Safeway. Exciting news! Safeway, Chevron, and Texaco are offering even more savings at the pump. Now through September 8th, shop at Safeway and redeem up to $1 per gallon in gas rewards at participating Chevron and Texaco stations and at Safeway fuel stations. Shop Safeway this week and earn up to $1 per gallon in gas rewards. This is Stephanie from Safeway, and we'll see you soon. Maximum gas reward at participating Chevron or Texaco stations is $1 per gallon in a single fill-up, up to 25 gallons for a limited time. Other restrictions and exclusions apply. See complete details in-store or at Safeway.com.
Where am I? I thought the beer store was on this block. Better check my phone. Hey, Maps, give me directions to the beer store.
Your destination is 700 feet ahead on the right.
Okay, thank you.
But don't settle for any beer this Oktoberfest. Make sure to get Polliner, the number one selling beer at Munich's Oktoberfest. Polliner's beers are the perfect way to bring authentic German celebration into your home.
Great. That's more information than I needed, but I...
And this Oktoberfest, make sure to follow the leader.
Excuse me? Follow the leader?
No, follow the leader, as in the Polliner liter glass, like they drink in Munich. When you follow the leader across the country and identify the cities where the Polliner leader is at, you could win Oktoberfest prizes, including a kegerator.
Okay, Maps, how do I follow the leader?
Check out Polliner USA on Instagram and look for the follow the leader posts. Correct answers in the comments are how you enter.
Okay, simple enough. Oh, another question. Is this conversation covered in my data plan?
Polliner USA, White Plains, New York. No purchase necessary. Open to U.S. residents 21 or older, excluding West Virginia. Ends 10/24/20. Void where prohibited. For rules, see polliner.us/rules. Hashtag beer goals.
From the shores of Malibu, where the waves are pumping, to the Great Wall of China, and back to the streets of Las Vegas and the UFC apex, where the UFC is coming. We are live. This is It's Time Radio, the show where we talk about what you think about, but maybe you're afraid to voice. Do not worry. We will voice it for you. We talk about everything on It's Time. COVID-19, President Trump, sex, drugs, rock and roll, UFC, film, TV, you name it. We talk about it. And I'm here with two of my favorite people, my co-host, TJ DeSantis. Hi, TJ.
What's up, Buff? How are you?
What's up? I'm good. I'm, you know, sequestered like everything, doing what we got to do. And we'll talk about that on the show because days and lives are changing daily. As I say, and I mean in that order, days and lives. Sammy Phillips, the beautiful, the sensual, the ever outspoken, the wonderful penthouse pet, Sammy Phillips, sexpert Sammy Phillips, radio show host Sammy Phillips, film producer Sammy. What have you not done? Respectfully.
many things. I have not gotten a high school diploma.
There we go.
the underachieving, non-graduating Samia Phillips. Here we go. There we go.
See, this just proves that you can get somewhere in life without an education.
I was just going to say.
I'm an advocate of not getting your education, but if it happens where you don't receive one, you'll still be okay.
I mean, Buffer just kind of made a joke about saying you were underachieving. I actually think the fact that you don't have a high school diploma means you're overachieving, Sam. Like, you're the 1%. You're the one that's killing it. You don't need that stuff. Traditional education? Yeah. Ha! Let's just go to work. Let's make money.
It's a subtle joke. But on a serious note on this, like, my dad did not graduate high school either. As a matter of fact, he was kicked out of high school for a certain reason the year before he was supposed to graduate. Never went back to school. Wound up running Fortune 500 companies. You know,
wait, you're going to leave us teased like IQ. That, Buffer? Come on.
Pardon me?
You're not going to give us the reason? He was just kicked out for a certain reason? Was he abducted by aliens?
You want to know the truth?
Yeah.
I'll tell you.
Yeah, yeah.
He went to a parochial school in New York. As it was explained to me, there was an incident where a priest was backhanding and slapping one of his friends on a stairwell, you know, with their kind of discipline that they used back then, if not whatever.
Right.
And my dad pushed him or hit him, and he went down a flight of stairs.
Ooh. And, I mean, that's unexpected result there.
Yeah,
but
unexpected. Either he went down the stairs, fell down, whatever, it was one of those incidents.
Right.
Where called into the office, everything, and he got expelled from school. Well, and I mean, life went on further, and he was in a situation where he was going to either go, like a lot of kids in New York, this way or this way.
Right.
And he went into the military at a very early age, the Navy and then the Marines, served in World War II in Korea, and his life changed.
Well, it sounds like Joe Buffer was standing up for a good cause.
He always did. My dad always did and taught me to do the same thing. And if that's where it originated, well, hey, more power to him. But you know what? He went on, ran Fortune 500 companies, had a very high IQ, read multiple books every week, self-taught himself, wound up becoming a screenwriter, a book writer. You know, we've talked about it on the show many times.
Yeah.
And I myself, I graduated high school and I went to college for 2 years, started my first company when I was 19, still went to school, you know, working 8 hours a day, school 6 hours a day in the evening, no sleep, whatever. Finally, I stopped saying I'm going to run my company, see if I can make it in the streets. And if I can't within 2 years, I'll go back to school. And for me, I never went back to school. So
right.
I'm not telling people not to go to college, but I will tell you that college, if you're going to be an accountant, an attorney, a scientist, you know, obviously you have to have that sheepskin. You have to have that education. If you're going to go out and, you know, make your mark in life through some passionate pathway that you choose in life, it's not all about college. College teaches knowledge. It does not teach application.
Right.
Other than the labs you do in college. You got to get out there. You got to face the bull in the eyes and by the horns, take command, take control, and learn through life's experiences. And that's what I did.
And
even if you go to college, you still have to do that when you get out.
Right. Most every job, you learn how to do that job, or at least the way that the people that hire you want to do that job. Even if you have to go to school and learn all about it, and you, like you said, get the sheepskin. Once you actually get into the workplace, a lot of that stuff you're going to have to throw out because they're company policies. Sam, I'm curious with you. I mean, you, like Bruce, very much a doer. When you were growing up, when you learned, was it more of a hands-on sort of thing with you? Did you learn by actual application, or were you someone that, you know, could learn in that traditional classroom environment?
No, actually. I did excel in school when I did go to school, which was up into the 9th grade, and then I dropped out. After I had graduated. So, and in fact, I think I dropped out probably 1 or 2 months into 10th grade, because I was living on the street. I had nowhere to sleep at night. It was hard to do homework and actually apply myself to learning when I had to worry about where I was going to get food and shelter.
When you were like 15, you were doing this?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. My mom threw me out.
Bonkers. So. I mean, I definitely could have quit.
I do want to tell you what I did, though.
Sure.
So I'd always excelled at English in school. That was like my main subject that I was really good with words. I was really great with grammar. I was a really good writer.
Hey, we know the words you're good with, but go ahead.
Yeah. Good ones and bad ones.
Yeah.
Know them all. And so when I dropped out of school, I had an intense thirst for knowledge, always did as a kid. And I had a practice when I was in school, in high school, the first year and junior high school, I used to try and read a book a week. That was like my personal goal. And when I ended up modeling and traveling the globe as a teenager, I would pick up a different book in a different airport kiosk newsstand, and I traveled with a dictionary and a thesaurus. And if I did not know the word, I looked up the word, and then I went to the thesaurus, and then I looked up other words that would be comparable to that word. And every day I tried to teach myself at least one new word. So that went on for years and years and years and years. So basically, I taught myself anything that I didn't know. I would find a mentor, a guide, a teacher, any, like when you said, you know, you were being funny, producer, writer, host, all that stuff. Each time I had an interest in a different type of an avenue of creativity for myself, I knew I wanted to do it. I knew I had something I wanted to express. I felt that I would be good at it based on my experiences. And so I just needed someone to teach me how to do it. And that's always how I've been, and here I am. Oh, shit, sorry.
That's all right. Here I am. That's all right. That was really loud.
No, I think you did a great look, Sammy. You're an extremely intelligent individual. You've definitely gone through your life's experiences, many more than most, and the same as most, and very different from others, and all the above. And I think you turned out great, you know? I mean, you survived the streets. Did you ever, I have to ask you, did you ever reconcile with your mom?
Various times throughout my life, yeah. Currently, no relationship. I do have contact with her husband, Chuck, my stepfather. We're pals on Facebook. And due to COVID, I reached out to him. I was estranged also from my father. So I reached out to both sets of parents during this isolation time. They're both elderly, not in the best health. So I just wanted to make sure that they were still alive, because I've heard hide nor hair from anybody. And I have reestablished my relationship with my dad. And in fact, we spoke on Father's Day. And my mother was, I found out from her husband, in ICU from New Year's Eve up until maybe several months ago. She had a whole bunch of things go down. Congenitive heart failure, this, that, the other, wasted away to 80 pounds. Now apparently she's in some rehab center. And the last time, like 2 months ago, when I asked my stepfather, how is she doing? He was like, the same. So I figure if there's any great change in her condition, he'll let me know. And she wants zero relationship with me. And I know that because when I reached out to him with my cousin Jen, we called him together. We were going through some family history, just like, you know, he was saying she doesn't have any friends. She's alienated everyone. And then I'd asked him, yeah, like I was wondering whatever happened with my cousin Jen's mom and my mom, because they were best friends. And he basically responded, when my cousin's mom moved out west towards where I lived, my mother just went, fuck that shit, and stopped talking to her. So I don't think she wants any relationship with me. And she's willing to cut out other people in her life that are moving. And they moved to Santa Fe, not even Los Angeles. So by him telling me that story, a couple of my friends are like, he should never have told you that. And I'm like, no, actually, I'm happy, because then I won't be wondering and pining away. You know, what if, you know, what if I, you know, just called her number and just said hello? She'd probably tell me to go fuck myself. So I don't really know.
What a heavy way to start this broadcast. I don't know where to go from here. Usually we're like laughing and starting the F-bomb count. Now I feel like we're going to count like sad, tragic stories.
Wait, see what else we got to talk about.
Oh my goodness.
I'm totally fine though. I mean, look at me.
You're great. We know you, Sam.
Stable, secure. I'm a good human being. I don't hold the horrors of my past on my sleeve, which then dictates how I react and respond to people. I'm a completely open and loving person despite anything I've ever been through, and nothing's really going to change that. So hey, it's a happy story.
I don't know if you guys know this, but this show and us three is the second longest relationship I have ongoing in my life right now. The only one longer is my wife and I's marriage. But yeah, what are we at, like 12 years now?
Going on 12.
Yeah, think about this.
I think it'll be 12. No, actually.
It's already 12.
It's 12.
It's 12.
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah.
So, it's 12. Wow.
So kindergartners are now seniors in high school since we started the show.
oh, I'll get the line. You know, I've been listening to your podcast. You know, I grew up listening to your podcast. It's always that one line that makes you feel older, right? I grew up watching you on TV. I grew up listening to your podcast. I'm very honored by that. But at the same time, it's like, yeah, it's been a while.
We're old. I mean,
I spent my college years watching Hot Springs Hotel. Thank God, because there didn't used to be porn. And I'm like, hey,
good to be known for something, right? All right, guys, let's go on a little bit. And Sammy, thank you for sharing that personal note with us, because, you know, it's very interesting, but you turned out great. So yeah, all good. And God knows you've been through enough experiences in your life. All right, we have to go into, we're going to save UFC talk for towards the end of the show. There's some very important things going on. Listen, guys, you know it. I know it. Since the show last week and the show the week before, the whole COVID-19 thing is getting worse again. We are still in stage one. New Jersey, New York, and Connecticut have now announced that if you come in from certain states around the country, you are going to have to go into a 14-day quarantine, right? Good run there, Sammy. Any states that have high COVID-19 rates, New York, New Jersey, and Connecticut, if you go into those states, you have to quarantine yourself for 14 days. This is starting to look like sequestering again.
Yeah, but what do you mean, Bruce? You have to. Okay, who enforces that? Who follows you around to make sure that you do that?
Like, I don't know.
Again, in California, we're not supposed to leave our house unless it's essential business. Who enforces that? Nobody.
No one.
Not even that. It's an order, not a law,
right,
that every Californian wear a mask in public. I'm so over and irritated with these selfish people that mistakenly think that if you're wearing a mask, it means that you are being controlled by the government. You're a sheep. You're doing exactly what you're supposed to. You're staying inside. You're wearing your mask. The government's taken over. No, dude, the government has not taken over. Clearly, half the country's not even fucking adhering to any of this. So no one's taking over. It's, if you don't do it, you are risking the lives of strangers,
yeah,
the lives of your family and your friends.
Yeah, I mean, let's call it what it is, Sammy. If you're not doing it, you're just an asshole. Like, honestly.
You're a fucking douche.
All right.
Sorry.
She said a little more stronger than that.
Somebody made a very good point. I don't mean to jump in.
I didn't say it. You're saying it for me. I'm with you.
Here's another thing. So you people want to complain about fucking wearing a mask for an hour at the grocery store? What about our fucking doctors and our nurses and our first responders who have to wear those for 12, 13, and 14-hour fucking shifts for you? So it's not okay for you, but they should do it? No, we all should fucking do it.
Right.
And if you don't like it, stay the fuck home.
The other thing that's crazy to me,
or your daughter out, or your lover, or your husband, or your sister, or your fucking brother, make them go to the fucking store.
The other thing that's crazy to me are people that wearing the masks that aren't actually like covering their nose. They just cover their mouth. Like, what are you doing? Like,
that's to me like a guy wearing pants and you're seeing half his ass sticking out of his pants. I mean, pants, you're supposed to cover your ass.
Right.
Okay.
Right. Generally, yeah. I don't know. Yeah. It's strange. Like what you're saying, Sam, about the whole, like, the government's taking over, you're all a sheep. Like, if you want to believe that, that's fine. But, like, for common courtesy for other people that don't agree with you, just put on your stupid mask for the 10 minutes that you're somewhere. You know what I mean? Right. Like, I don't understand.
And you know what? Have you guys, you have to follow this account. It's on Instagram. It's called Karen's Gone Wild. So you might have heard the term, oh, check out this Karen. Here's a video of this Karen going crazy in the supermarket. Check out this Karen going nuts on a black man. So a Karen is usually a white lady who is using the N-word, who is harassing and targeting black folks, who is disrespectful and not adhering to laws or orders, who thinks they're the only ones who exist in this world. And people are catching them out on video. And when they get caught on video, oh, the Karen reaction, hysterics, screaming, crying. Yes, because every Karen that's been caught loses their job, gets in trouble, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
I just feel bad for the nice people in the world that have the name Karen. Like, they're getting the raw end of that deal.
Look, guys, you know, we always talk about this. You put a bunch of people in a room. You take 100 police officers and put them in a room. The 2 to 3% of any group you put together ruins it for the rest of them. Okay?
Thank you.
It's not that every police officer is bad, because I support the police. Okay? I don't support when they do bad. I'm all about everything going on, and they have to be police like everybody else. We talk about this all the time in the show. But I am not for when I read stuff. I saw a video of a female police officer in Atlanta. She went to a McDonald's. I don't know if you saw this video. All she did was, she hadn't eaten in 8-10 hours of her shift, okay? And let's just take for granted she's a fine police officer, because we need police. There's no argument on that. We just need the police to police the police like we're policed, okay? And more. So she's sitting there. It's taking forever. How long has it taken you to get a Big Mac and a cup? I mean, excuse me, an Egg McMuffin and a cup of coffee. Boom, 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 right? They walk out with her coffee, but they're delaying the Egg Mac. She's worried. They're spitting in it. They're doing something to it. And she's talking into the thing, and suddenly in the last 2 minutes of this 5 minute or whatever it was video, she just starts to lose it and cry. Why are they doing this to me? I'm just trying to do, in so many words, I'm just trying to do my job. And sort of, why are they doing this to me? I felt for her so bad. Then I read yesterday, I don't know if you guys read this, one of the most disgusting things I've ever read, where the off-duty LAPD officer goes in, orders a cappuccino or a frappuccino, and they nicknamed it tamponuccino, because they got their frappuccino, and there's a friggin' tampon in the frappuccino.
Okay, but hang on. I also read yesterday that they did extensive investigations into that claim.
And what's happened? And
they found zero evidence that anyone in that Starbucks put that tampon in that cop's coffee. I also want to bring up one other thing. Do you remember who was it that claimed that they had stuff in their food? Not Chick-fil-A. Shake Shack? Apparently... Not true.
That came out not true. I heard about that.
Okay.
I heard about that. Yeah.
So, you know, who's doing what to make someone else look bad?
Right.
I don't, you know.
And that's the problem. You always hear that initial story, but the retraction or the correction or the other evidence that comes out to sort of wipe it away, it doesn't get the same play. And people still walk away with, oh, did you hear X, Y, and Z happened? When it's like, no, it didn't actually happen that way.
Well, that's like right now. That was all over the news everywhere. You're telling me this now. Whoever did that, and let's say, God forbid, it was the police officer themselves, well, then somebody's got to pay. Okay? Bottom line.
Does nobody fear karma anymore? Like, I mean, I don't know. I like to believe that what goes around comes around. But if you're staging things like that, you know, to put yourself ahead or to put other people down, I hope we live in a world where it comes back and gets you a little bit somewhere down the road.
I hope so, too. But, you know, one more thing, we're on the subject. Okay, New Jersey, New York, Connecticut, to require 14-day quarantine for travelers from states that have high COVID-19 rates. There's a certain formula for that. Again, we don't know how that's going to be policed. But Europe, okay, Europe is going to prevent us again from traveling to Europe. Now, I got to go to Abu Dhabi for Fight Island in 2 weeks, right? Now, my way of getting there, which I'm not going to reveal, is test. I'm going to be tested like 6 times over the next 2 weeks. I have a show this weekend. I've got 2 shows in Abu Dhabi. I come back. Even though I'm tested like 6 times, when I get back, I still have to follow all the rules that were under. Because all I got to do is walk outside, make one mistake, and I'm infected, right? All testing means is I was not infected the moment I got the test. But what about the 5 days of contact I had before the test? So therefore, even getting tested, you have to treat life today as if you're infected and everybody around you is infected. I don't know any other way to work it. We think it's going away. All we're reading about is spiking. Arizona, since they opened up, they had over... Okay, let me give you an example of what's happened, okay? Here's a mathematical example. Approximately... 2 weeks ago, there was an average of 200 cases of coronavirus outbreaks a day in Arizona. Not too high, still a problem. They opened up the state. Now there's an average, 11 days later, they had over 55% of reported cases since January of COVID happened in that 11 days after. Now it's over 2,000 a day. And yesterday, they just broke 3,000. What does that tell you? You read about people being infected. The New York Marathon has been canceled, okay? There's also in sports, They had MLB. They're going to have the Major League Baseball season start. All I'm reading about is Major League Baseball players being infected.
And
right?
also football players.
Well, I don't think football season, I'll tell you right now, I don't think it's going to happen. I can see MLB, NBA playing in a bubble. I don't know about football. I don't see how the heck they can practice and do it, but we'll see. We'll see. And then you also got another case where even in tennis, the number one tennis star in the world, Novak Djokovic, test positive for coronavirus.
Yeah, but he also set himself up by having the exhibition match that he invited all those tennis players to that did not practice social distancing, safe practices. Nobody wore masks. They hung out. They partied. They boogied. They danced the night away. They played against each other. They kumbaya'd and ha-ha-ha'd and fucking hugged one another. And it's not just him. I heard, what is it, six other players that were there have tested positive?
Yeah.
All right.
Yep. Then you got Philadelphia Phillies come down with it. You had the major tennis star I spoke about, a big golfer that was, I forget his name. He didn't test positive, but his caddy tested positive, so he had to back out of the whole big tournament.
What about Trump's pre-team that went to Tulsa, Arizona?
Six tested positive before and three more tested positive after.
Part of that. So it's actually eight.
Nine.
Oh, sorry, nine.
Six and three. And then you have all the people that were there, which was an underachieving crowd, or that's not the proper word, but, you know, he was expecting 100,000 people. He canceled the outside rally. Inside, they had what they had.
6,200.
I can't contemplate how the leader of the United States, who's supposed to be protecting us and doing all he does, and I don't want to get too crazy here, Sammy. You say what you want to say. I still can't fathom how enforcement, you can't tell people it's their choice to wear a mask. Wear the friggin' mask. You want to get in here to this rally, you wear the mask.
He's gone as far as saying, if you're wearing a mask, that's you're taking a step against me. I'm paraphrasing, but if you're by wearing a mask, you are showing that you are against me. So his base are not wearing that fucking mask, dude. And, you know, it's funny because I was on Twitter yesterday and I was looking at trending topics. And have you heard of K-pop stan, which are fans of K-pop bands, which are like Japanese pop bands?
Korean pop bands. Thus the K-pop, K-Korean.
Yeah. Okay, so the K-pop stans, which is what they call their fans, are being given credit for fucking up Trump's rally. So what they've been doing is, so during the protests and various police departments would say, post your protest footage here, and they would give you an app to upload protest footage so the police could identify protesters. So the K-pop stans went nuts and they started spamming the apps that collect this data and posting video footage of K-pop bands. So they've killed each one. Like they've over, what's that called? They've, when something.
They crashed it.
Thank you. They crashed it. Thank you. So they've crashed all these things and now they're being credit with purchasing advanced or reserving advanced tickets for Trump's Tulsa rally, which led his team to believe it would be this exponential amount of people. And it turns out that they bought or purchased or reserved these tickets and then nobody showed up. So that's why they had a higher expectation. And literally go on Twitter. They are giving them absolute credit for it.
Yeah, there were people, I think, in Iowa that had like something like 4,000 tickets to the rally, like on their kitchen table because they reserved them all through the apps and whatnot. And yeah, it's interesting bit of warfare that they launched against Trump.
See, here's the thing that I find interesting, TJ, is like everybody keeps waiting for these kids to get old enough to vote. And even the ones in the last election that were old enough to vote had whatever reason to not vote. I hate Hillary. I hate Trump. I hate them both. I'm not voting. Those people now realize, I'm suspecting, that there's no more of that. Like, you have to make your voice heard.
We'll find out.
Yeah.
We'll find out in November.
Have to. This is probably the most important presidential election and since I don't know when, for so many different reasons. You know, one of the other big things you talk about, the younger generation, everybody's like 65 and over, susceptible, you know, compromised lungs, personal health issues, susceptible. Now they're finding out with all the surge, and I'll give you a little something here that's crazy. The coronavirus pandemic, the 7-day moving average, the United States right now, as of June 22nd, is only this much less than the major break in March 28th. We are still there. We are still at 30,000 cases a day, okay, or a week, a 7-day moving average, 30,000 a week. Europe is down to like between 0 and 5,000.
It's no almost wonder, like we should never even did what the fuck we did. Like,
but did we do it? Did we do it?
Do it, and the other half isn't. Then that is that virus is just going to move to the other half that's not.
Let's be honest here, guys. We live in a country where unless there's strict penalties, we don't do things. We don't do things in an honor system. There's a reason you have to, you know, there's a reason you go to jail if you don't pay your taxes. It's not, right. Hey, good on you. Please pay your taxes. Do your part. Sure, I'll pay my taxes. Don't worry about it. And then meanwhile, I never pay my taxes. So, like, yeah, like, I don't know. I hate to say
Wesley
this.
Wesley Snipes could tell us about that one.
Right, exactly. This is like an unpopular opinion, and I don't know if it would have solved it, but I would have been fine going on full lockdown, martial law for 8 weeks where, you know, it would have sucked. But at the end of that 8 weeks, hopefully we would have at least been in a better situation to know if really shutting down would have made an impact.
All right, let me give you. Well,
let Sam go. Sam wants to say something.
I just want to say something about the martial law.
Yeah.
I wish that there was an edict for everyone to stay inside, but I'm not down with tanks rolling down the streets of the United States of America.
You're right, Sam. I say martial law loosely, and I probably shouldn't. That's not the right term. But
the tanks and fucking guys.
No. But a lockdown where if you did leave your house, you would be hit with some sort of fine that made you not want to leave your house. You know what I mean? Something like that should have happened.
The police, God bless all the great fine police out there. Okay, there's only so many. There's only so much room to cover. You know, it's just if they'd be handing out tickets all day long.
Right, but that's why you make the ticket something that is so incredibly hard to deal with that yes, maybe there's only 5 cops that can police 1,000 people in this area, but that fine is $20,000. No one's leaving.
They were hitting $1,000 fines here in Manhattan Beach.
Not high enough. Beach. Especially not in that neighborhood. Especially not in that neighborhood.
We're also talking about people who haven't paid their fucking rent in the last 4 months. And
right. I mean, that's another problem, too. Like, the subsidies that have been made and the stimulus checks and all that stuff, it's especially here in Southern California, like, it's meaningless. It truly is. Like, okay, great. You give me a couple thousand dollars. My rent is almost that.
Should be a couple thousand a month. Listen, here's a couple of stats that are going to – they're just scaring the heck out of me, okay? I mean, when I say I don't get scared easy, you know what I mean. It's just scary because we don't know where we're going. In California – more than 35% of confirmed COVID-19 cases of infection since this whole thing started have been recorded in the last 2 weeks. Okay?
Really?
Figure it out. 2 weeks. In Florida, on Monday, they surpassed 100,000 total coronavirus cases on Monday. Why? Because we know why. Because they're out there doing exactly what we're doing. And now here's the big thing, what I was trying to get to before. The 20 to 40-year-olds are getting infected like crazy now. Yeah. And you say, oh, well, I won't die. Well, read it. I'm reading about 16-year-old kids dying. Sure, maybe they're compromised in some way.
Well,
okay, the bottom line is it's not just about you. For our listeners out there, it's about your mom, your dad, your grandparents, my mom, my family, your family, everybody on that road. If you don't care about anybody around you, then you're the POS that's causing the problem, okay?
Did you guys see that story about the 21-year-old woman who had the double lung transplant because of COVID?
Yeah, I did. Yeah.
Like had to have a double lung transplant because of COVID-19. Like everything that I saw, and again, I hate to say this. I hate to put a disclaimer on the friggin' news because essentially you have to these days. But from all indications, she was perfectly healthy prior to that, but got COVID-19 and needed a lung transplant, double lung transplant to save her life.
How old was she?
21.
Okay, so now ask me a question. I'm strong. I'm in the best shape of my life. I'm 63. I'm the UFC announcer amongst all the other work I do for sports and entertainment around the world. I get COVID-19. I survive it, but my lung tissue dissipates. Where am I? right? Where are you? Where are you? Right? Okay, I didn't die. Okay, 20-year-old, 30-year-old, you didn't die. Did you hear the story that TJ just said? If you don't get this, you're the part of the problem. You're not part of the solution. I love all our listeners, but I'll say it again. If you don't get this, you're part of the problem. You're not part of the solution. Hate me? Stop listening to the show now. If you can't take it, fine, because I don't want you to listen if you're part of the problem. Did I say too much just then?
No, I mean, no, I don't think so. I mean,
I'm so used to being the one that does that shit. Thanks, Bruce.
I mean, Sam, the cool clone collected one of the program. It's a little bit weird. It's opposite day here, and it's time.
Saturday, Florida reported 4,049 new cases, the most reported in a single day.
Yeah. Did you guys hear that, like, offhanded remark by the president that he said, like, the numbers are rising, so let's, like, slow roll the testing? And then someone called him on that. He's like, no, I was kidding. Oh, okay. All right. Yeah. Funny?
It's only big numbers because there's more tests. So I told everybody, just slow the tests down.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, what happened to it being all warm? And like once it got warm, everything died.
Oh, yeah. That's really working. Arizona's 110 degrees.
Hey, I got to go.
Really working, isn't it?
I got to go get a glass of bleach. I'm thirsty. I'll be right back.
Why? You know, I read something. So you know how the president, like, he couldn't walk down the ramp and he needed two hands to hold a little cup of water, et cetera, et cetera. So they're saying that he could potentially have onset dementia because the way his body pitches forward, it's countering the effects of dementia. So I guess the way it fucks with your brain, you have to... I'll look it up.
All right. Here's the problem, though, Sam. Like, what you're saying right now, sure, maybe there's truth to it.
It's but like a lot of speculation.
Yeah, like, I don't know.
What's fucking wrong with that?
Let me say one thing. The ramp going down, okay? He's 72 years old, 73, whatever he is, okay? I go down those ramps, and if they are a little – thank you. That was for me, Sammy. I go down those ramps and
a worker. Sorry.
I know. I go down those ramps, which could be a little slippery, and you know, I'll half step going down. Okay. So I'm not too concerned about his ramp walk, but when he was holding the glass, that was like almost a Parkinson's effect, you know? I don't wish anything on our president. I want our president to be healthy, whether I agree with what he says half the time or not. I want our president to be healthy. I don't wish ill on anybody, but I'm not too concerned about the ramp. That I can deal with. The other one seemed a little bit.
Okay, so a renowned French neurologist and professor of anatomical pathology noted precise differences in characteristics of the PSP form of frontotemporal dementia in Trump.
Okay, whatever that means.
Yeah. So.
Let's just look, all we hear about, this is what surprises me. Twice now, we've heard about people on his team who he interacts with without a mask testing positive for COVID, right? I mean, if I was the president, I'd want to be careful. I want to stay healthy for my country. So yeah, let's just hope he doesn't get it. I don't wish it on anybody. I don't wish it on anybody.
But here's the thing, guys. It doesn't affect everyone the same way. Like, he may have theoretically already had it and doesn't show any signs of it and has already passed it. A buddy of mine had it. A buddy of mine had it, went to the ICU, nearly died. His wife had a headache. She had it, only had a headache. His kids all had it. They didn't even know they had it. It affects so many different people completely different ways that you can't really make hard line conclusions about anyone and how they'll be affected by it.
And one of the biggest things that happened recently, you know, I've been involved in these antibody tests, and there's the antibody test, there's the swab test to see if you have COVID. I have been antibody tested many times. I've been COVID tested now 5 times working with UFC and on my own with my doctor, trying to stay as healthy and safe as I can because of my loved ones around me, blah, 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 blah. So the antibodies now, you think, okay, I got it. I built enough antibodies. Now I'm immune, right? But now they're realizing after a certain amount of time, the antibodies start disappearing. We don't even know. If you get it once, can you not get it again? It would be so nice to know that to be true. This is a very crazy virus.
We just need time. Like, I mean, again, Bruce, 5-6 months ago, I was the one on the show going, Bruce, you need to calm down. This isn't going to be an issue. It's not going to be real. This is in China. It's never going to get here. Don't worry. Well, I was wrong. Sorry.
Yep. Sorry. I appreciate your admitting you're wrong.
I was wrong.
Listen, they've also canceled the New York Marathon, right? I was in Vegas for UFC 2 weeks ago, and last week, of course, and then 2 weeks before that, my friend who came with me, we went into a casino. I told you about that. And I saw that 10%, maybe 20% wearing masks, maybe observing, distancing. All the employees were doing everything they were supposed to be doing. But now Vegas is spiking, and now they just passed a rule in Vegas. You've got to wear a mask wherever you go. I was in Vegas last weekend. I love to play blackjack. You know how much I love to play poker, blah, blah, blah. I didn't even leave my hotel room where we stay. I go back on Friday. I'm not even going to leave my hotel room where I stay. It's just not worth it. Would you, Sammy?
No,
no.
I'm not. I now, hardly leave my house except to go replenish my supplies.
And you might ask me, why don't I fly to Vegas? Right? Well, with all the spiking and all the people coming in and out of the city, who the hell wants to walk through an airport right now? You realize what could happen when you go to the bathroom? They've done tests where just flushing the toilet throws the shit in the air. Okay?
Well, I mean that's nothing new. There's literally feces all over your entire house.
Oh, I know, but I'm talking about COVID. You know, yeah. Yeah,
yeah,
right,
but
exactly.
But I'm just saying, like, that's what I'm saying. Like, it doesn't matter whether it's COVID, whether it's, like, germs are everywhere. Everywhere. And that's why people are getting sick. Even the safest of people, germs are everywhere. Like, and I think that highlights more about the importance of wearing the mask, guys. Like, no matter how safe you personally are, it's everybody else that has to be just as safe. Otherwise, no one is safe. So
that's the point of this conversation. And last week when I went to Vegas, I was driving there and I didn't realize it, but the windshield got hit and I got that spider effect. Bye, Esther. Take care. Thank you so much.
Bye, Esther.
Have a great week.
See you. Say bye to Esther, Sam.
Bye, Esther.
Thank you.
She's wonderful. She's wonderful. She's my cleaning lady. She's amazing. Just always good to have great people around you. And you talk about safe. She comes in with her mask. Everything is antiseptic. You know, the way you're supposed to be.
Right.
And we keep our distancing. That's what you got to do. Right?
Of course. 100%.
So I had the windshield. It cracked and everything. And yesterday I had the guys come out because I was able to drive it back. And they replaced the windshield here at my home. And the guys were super nice. But you know what? The hands were dirty. They obviously are doing their work. I've never met them. I said, please, mask, gloves. Now, when they were finished with my car, what do you think I did? Sammy, I went through that car with wipes and Lysol and everything. I had to clean the car, right? You don't know.
Yeah.
Leave the windows open, let it air out. I haven't even driven it since yesterday. This is the world in which we live. When I get to the hotel, what do I do? What everybody should do if you read what you're supposed to do. Carry your wipes. I bring a can of Lysol. I literally disinfect my room. And I have no maid walk in the room, no nothing. That's it.
So,
I have them in my room anyway. I don't want them stealing my weed.
allow me to maybe get a little bit personal. I'm in the final month of a 48-month lease in my house. I'm moving on Thursday and Friday.
What?
Yeah.
God,
I had to get an attorney involved because my landlord was trying to tell me that we had to have an open house and allow people to come into the house that we're living in. And I was like, no, I don't want to do that. And they're like, oh, you have to. It's in your lease. I'm like, I'm pretty sure that a pandemic will put a halt to that. And they're like, nope, you don't understand. So I called my attorney who knows his stuff and he put the kibosh on that, which is great because I didn't want to have to deal with that. But yeah, it was pretty uncomfortable for about 2 days where I was getting guilted and led to believe that I had no choice but to let massive amounts of people come into my house. And I had to sign a waiver that said, sure, if I get sick and die, whatever, it's all good. I understand the risks.
You had to do all that?
No, I didn't. I had an attorney like tell me I didn't, but I was kind of getting strong-armed to believe that I needed to.
Now you're being strong-armed because he obviously wanted to rent the place as soon as you left and not have any lapse.
Well, kind of. They're trying to sell the place and, like, literally tried to start selling the place, like, 6 months into my, 6 months into the 2-year lease that I signed. I signed two leases. But, yeah, like I had 18 months left on my lease, and they tried to sell the house from underneath me.
Enjoy selling your home during COVID-19. Get the biggest price possible. Have a good time. Now's actually a bit of a buyer's market in the real estate industry.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it is. I mean, if you're here near the beach or, you know, where I am and stuff, they're staying strong. But, you know, all values are going down a little bit, and they'll wind up going back even more when everything gets good again. It's just real estate and the nature of the beast. Okay, Eskimo Pie, right? Eskimo Pie has dropped the name. There are no more Eskimo Pies after some 30 years or whatever. My brother Michael and I were talking about this, but they're – Eskimo Pie is a 100-year-old chocolate-covered vanilla ice cream bar. Have you ever had one?
Oh, who hasn't? Yeah. Yeah.
But I mean, saying that the word Eskimo is a
derogatory word. Yep.
I can see it. Yeah.
Forgive me. What are Eskimos typically called? Indigenous.
I'd have to find it. I believe there's a tribe of Eskimos that are Inuit, I believe they're called.
That would be a tribe. It's like a...
Right, but still, an Eskimo is not the proper term. That's a term that people generalize for indigenous people of certain areas. Like, yeah, who am I to say...
Is calling an Indian a bad thing?
Are they from India?
No, American Indian.
Then yes, it's a bad thing, 100%.
Okay, here, the word Eskimo actually means eaters of raw meat, not an indigenous people.
Right,
Natives
but that's
of the
not
Northern
what
Hemisphere are. They're just of many different tribes.
Right,
we learned
but
when we were common.
But again, the term Eskimo has been boiled down to largely mean a certain variety of people that live in cold areas. That's what people think of when you say Eskimo. And if people are offended by it, who am I to tell you that that's right and you're wrong? No, if you're offended by it, then we should try to find the proper name for it.
All right. Well, let me give you a couple others. Okay, they're going to drop Eskimo Pie. It's going to be dropped. That's Dreyer's Ice Cream, you know, Dreyer's Ice Cream. They're behind it. And they said in a statement last Friday, the name is derogatory. So they want to be part of the solution on racial equality. I mean, we all do. I hope we all do to do be the best we can be for racial equality. Their decision comes after Quaker Oats. We talked about this last week. We weren't on the show, Sammy, but Aunt Jemima syrup and pancake mix. No longer. No more Aunt Jemima.
I know.
Okay, that you can understand. Next is going to be Mrs. Butterworth's.
Yeah.
Pancake syrup.
Let me ask you something. What about Mr. Clean?
I don't know.
What about Mr. Clean?
Guy.
I mean, you're a bald guy and you're going to get upset by Mr. Clean?
I don't know.
Wait.
He looks like a white supremacist to me.
Let's ask the bald guy.
I actually didn't think Mr. Clean was white. Let me look that up.
He's a white bald man with an earring.
I know who you're talking about, but I don't think I never thought he was.
So he's
Caucasian.
A UFC fan.
A bald guy with an earring.
We have a few of them at the shows. Not saying anything bad about bald guys with earrings. One of the next things that's going to happen is Uncle Ben's Rice. I bet that goes by the wayside. And one of the big ones is the Washington Redskins. Michael and I have been saying for years they need to change that logo and name. Now I think they're taking the owner's name off all their records or something, but they're not changing the name still. That's
yeah,
name
okay.
That
so, Mr. Clean was actually changed to an African American man like 3 years ago.
Oh, really? Mm-hmm. I didn't know that.
Yeah, I'm looking at the article now. It was in a Super Bowl ad. They made the change.
So why not have all different races as Mr. Clean and make it just a wide demographic? You know, everybody's got the reasoning. Everybody's very careful these days for obvious reasons.
Yeah, I mean, my thing is this, is the Redskin name, I've referred to them as the Washington football team as long as I have been able to make that effort. I think it's a poor name. I don't like the Cleveland Indians name. I think both of those names should be changed, you know?
What about the Atlanta Braves?
Probably. Yeah, I mean, again, like, if Native Americans are offended by it, yeah, sure. Like, it's a name.
Does that mean that anybody who's offended by anything can get changes made?
When it's to describe a group of people based on their race and origins, yeah, absolutely, for sure.
How do you feel about the knocking down of all the statues and everything that's going on?
Give me an example.
Robert E. Lee.
Well, yeah, I mean,
yesterday they were trying to topple. Just, I mean, they were talking about the Washington Monument, wanting to take that down.
Okay,
you know,
so why
toppling of Southern Confederate leaders?
Then
and
yeah, Confederate leaders, yeah, for sure.
Yeah,
I mean things that are entrenched in race relations. Then yeah,
I have no problem.
But
with
the
that.
Washington Monument, I don't understand where's the controversy in the Washington Monument.
Wasn't George Washington a slave owner?
I have no idea.
Yes, I think he was.
I guess, you know, I'm sitting here thinking Washington Monument. I actually didn't put two and two together that it was a monument for George Washington. I thought it was like, hey, we're in Washington. Here's a monument.
No, Capital City. I think it's in honor of George Washington. Check
you're
that out,
Sammy. No, you're probably right. I just, do you understand what I'm saying? Like my brain, I just didn't even think George Washington. I just thought Washington, the city.
While Sammy's checking that, let's give a little light news here. Are you guys familiar with Post Malone?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I'm coming out with Puncher's Chance Bourbon, target date September. It's nice to read that even though everything's going on, he came out with his own wine, right? And he sold 50,000 bottles of his wine in 2 days. Very, very cool. People are still buying stuff. $21.99 a bottle. I have no idea how it tastes. Little lightness there. Sammy, did you find out about the Washington Monument?
No, I wasn't even looking that up. I was looking up, because when you said, was it Washington? Was he a slave owner? Then it reminded me of the Jefferson. They pulled him down, claiming that he was a slave owner, but then also he was part of the Declaration of Independence. So like certain presidents that they're pulling down these statues of are what the different things I'm reading, they're saying that they're all very diverse men, that they've had different opinions throughout the course of their presidency and life, and that many of them actually ended up fighting for the rights of slaves, maybe not initially, but in the end. So here's what I think, just I want to say something. I don't think that we should be pulling them down. I think that they should be put in some type of a Confederate park or some kind of, you know, outdoor museum for the Confederate folk that they can look at, you know, a president on a horse with a slave and an Indian in chains behind them. Like if that's what you're into and it's a part of history, then you should pay to go see it somewhere. It shouldn't be forced.
Okay. All right. So
that,
I get what you're saying.
One of the targets of one of the worst protests in the future.
No. What she's saying is a museum in a roundabout way. Yeah, I can understand that. I thought you meant like, let's just make a park with Confederate statues for the people that are racist. Like, no, that's not what she's saying. That's not what she's saying. No, I get it. I get it.
Statues in a place.
It took me a minute. Right. See,
commemorate
them. See, what I think Sam is correct on is we don't want to just completely destroy history, especially the bad history. We need to remember bad history so we don't have history repeat itself, right? My thing is this, though. If people are upset by the statues, 100% remove them. But like Sam is saying, put them somewhere where they are, that they serve a purpose.
Stuff like that. And then there was one particular statue, because they pulled down so many and desecrated so many, but there was one particular one that was in the news. I don't know if you guys know which one it was, where the family that owned the land in this particular town gave the land rent-free to the town in place of erecting this monument. So the town, I believe, pulled the monument down, removed it. The town did, not protesters. And now there's a court case between the family of the people that own the land and the town because it was a specific deal. So now they want their land back.
I mean, last thing I'll say about this. If there is anything that is displayed in public that makes people feel uncomfortable and it's based on oppression in race relations, I think at this time we should probably remove those and put them in to a place where they are not necessarily destroyed and you can make a judgment call later on in life. But if anybody is feeling especially sensitive due to issues that are going on right now, we should be trying to diffuse those issues rather than doubling down and trying to make it a stand for preserving history and things like that.
Yeah, whatever issues are going on, we need to maintain and doing what we're trying to go forward to, which is hopefully complete unity between all of us moving forward, avoiding the prejudice, which will always be around to some level or extent, but we've got to do what we can to do it. And I have no problem with what you just said, TJ, but changes have to be made and they're being made hopefully in the proper way.
Okay, so what do you guys feel about the Bubba Wallace, NASCAR, noose.
And I heard that was fake too. Like,
it wasn't fake. It's been hanging in there for some over 10 years is what they said.
Yeah. So what is, I mean, that doesn't make it any better.
No, it doesn't. But it lightened the initial effect of the story.
It shouldn't
that
have.
Somebody went in there and put it in.
Okay. So the reason why it got even more attention is, okay, so Bubba's the only black NASCAR race car driver promoting Black Lives Matter, et cetera, et cetera. And also petitioned and got NASCAR to remove the Confederate flag from their races. How do you feel about, okay, similar with the statues displaying flags? Like, what if somebody had a swastika flag hanging from the front of their house, or somebody displayed a Confederate flag hanging from their house? How, I mean, is that offensive to someone?
And yeah, then, of course it is. And, yes. And like, where I come from, I mean, maybe, totally. Maybe I'm crazy, but if you have one of those flags in front of your house, you're probably going to get your ass kicked.
Speech, isn't that the First Amendment?
Sure, you can say whatever you want to. It doesn't mean that you're not going to get your ass kicked at some point.
Yeah, you're asking for a problem.
I mean, if you're going to like prominently promote that you're someone full of hate, there's going to be hell to pay. At least I hope we live in a world where there's some hell to pay.
Yeah, of course. I mean, you know, walking out in an SS uniform, German at World War II SS
right.
uniform, or having
yeah.
the you know, those things on the front like, of your house. No,
there are some things you don't necessarily need to have laws for because they should take care of themselves. Spreading hate speech in a neighborhood because you're a bigot, that should largely take care of itself. You would hope it would.
Let's talk about something else, guys. Let's go on. And this is something that, not to put all the rest, I think we've kind of not beat it to death because we'll be talking about it constantly as time goes on. Is there any other comments on this? Because, listen, I am not prejudiced. I am for total, complete unity and everything we're fighting for. So I don't want to take away from this conversation unless both of you have finalized your comments. Is there anything else you want to say regarding this very important situation?
I just think it's crazy we have to spend this much time on it in 2020. It's bonkers that it's an issue. Doesn't make sense
to me. We'll be spending
more. I know.
It's going to be every week to some extent. Okay, rape is in the news in TV and film. 2 weeks ago or a week or so ago, Danny Masterson from that 70s show was charged with rape here in Los Angeles. We all know that, you know, it's once you're labeled that, it's a hard label to ever get rid of. His situation, you know, women dating back, I think, 2001, 2003 are coming forward. And he was arrested and on $3.3 million bail for his situation. We'll see how that pans out. There were rumors to this effect in the press previously. The other one, Sammy, somebody you know, and I've met at your affair, Ron Jeremy. Ron Jeremy, the porn star, charged with sexually assaulting four women. He's 67 years old.
Raping three, sexually assaulting one.
Right. Okay. His bail is tentatively set at $6.6 million. I don't know where Jeremy's going to get that kind of money because he'll need to put up a home and $660,000 or whatever the term is to get out of jail. This dates back to 2017 and 2019. The strange thing, Sammy, do you know where this was? West Hollywood Bar. Everything happened separate occasions in a West Hollywood bar.
Do you know which one it was?
No, but it's like
Rainbow.
Which one?
The Rainbow.
Really? Were the musicians playing everything?
Mm-hmm.
So where do you rate?
So these women, the accusers, claim that one of them said that he accompanied her to a bathroom and raped her. And then I saw in one of the news reports where he, in defense of himself, had said that he has witnesses and he has evidence to disprove that when she came out of the bathroom, she was happy and that she had taken photos of his penis, I believe. So, and here's the other thing. So he was allegedly investigated several years ago. And no charges were filed against him. But enough girls in the adult world spoke up about their uncomfortability with how he conducted himself on sets that they basically banned him from the AVN awards, conventions, et cetera, et cetera.
All right, one second, Sammy. What can you do on a porno set that people can complain about? Is it something outside of the filming itself?
Yes. So say pretend I'm working with Ron. I've never acted in a porn. Actually, I acted as a civilian in a porn film without having sex, but I haven't performed in a porn film. But pretend it was me with Ron and we had a scheduled scene. The victim alleged that another bathroom situation, something that did not happen on the set, which was supposed to be scheduled to be filmed, that he took it upon himself and forced himself on her outside of the actual scene. And here's the thing, just because someone is an adult star doesn't mean you can just fuck them wild all over a fucking set for the 12 hours that they're there because they're a porn star and you think that you can. They are hired for one scene with usually one to two or maybe three other people. It's not, the cameraman gets to fuck the person. The PA gets to fuck the person. That's not how porn works. It is a very legitimate business. And when you're any actor, you get hired to do a scene in a movie. You're not doing your lines and recording it with a director on camera. You're doing it with your co-star on camera. It's what you were hired to do. There's a contract. It's all paperwork. You sign it. It's legitimate. So the victims of Ron are claiming that outside the course of performing what the contract was, that he took liberties with them.
You know, Ron, Ron got you. Now, you've known him for a long time. Does he have a lot of money in the porn industry?
Okay. So anybody that knows Ron knows that he pretty much wears like one outfit and his car is a beat up jalopy.
Okay. But that answered the question.
But I've heard that he's got millions and millions of dollars. So if he does, he certainly does not exhibit it on himself. He would be the most low key cavillionaire that I knew.
Well, then we'll know if he gets himself out of bail and if he can hire an attorney, because it's going to cost him a hell of a lot of money for this. He faces up to 90 years in prison. Meaning he'll never get out.
He has a heart issue where he almost died several years ago and had like emergency open heart surgery. I'm worried for him. Listen, I do not condone him allegedly doing anything to any woman against her will. I don't know him that way. I know him as a friend and a good guy. And I just, given, you know, all these suspicious suicides and the Jeffrey Epstein's and the this and the that's, Steve Bing, another friend of mine, I don't know if you heard this news on 55 Monday.
55 years old, yeah.
He jumped to his death from the 27th floor of his condo in Century City.
Yep.
So I don't want... My big fear is that Ron is so despondent, he takes his own life because. I'm just worried for him.
So. I'm worried too, but I'm only saying this because I say this about everybody. If you did something bad and you're convicted of it and proven it, then he has to serve and
of course,
whatever's thrown at him, he's got to deal with it. So I'm not going to sit here with any sympathy. I'll just sit here with an open mind, but it doesn't look good.
I know.
Right? Doesn't look good. Now, with that being said, we're going to go into a couple other things as far as UFC.
Hey, Buff, I really got to go.
I know. I just want to say real quick, last Saturday, I know you said 145. Last Saturday, UFC, the Shane Burgos, Josh Emmett fight, definitely a candidate for fight of the year. Sorry to hear that Josh Emmett has torn his ACL, broken bones, many other injuries from that fight, being the amazing study is we're probably not going to see him for a year, right, TJ? I mean, torn ACL,
The time on that, it's changed over the last couple of years. They've gotten better with some, you know, surgeries, and some people, you know, heal a little bit quicker than others. But yeah, I'm saying at least 6 to 12 months probably.
Ooh, I've been through two of these. I don't see 6 months, but I wish him the best.
Right.
And God knows I can't wait to see him come back and fight. And Shane Burgos, who wanted to win that fight, $50,000 bonus or not, kudos. Unbelievable fight, gentlemen. Unbelievable fight. This Saturday, I'll be in Vegas. We've got the UFC in Vegas. Dustin Poirier, Dan Hooker, Mickey Gall, Mike Perry. Mickey Gall and Mike Perry. Can't wait to see that fight. There's a lot of good fights on this card. It's going to be very exciting. It's going to be on ESPN. I will see you from the Octagon on Saturday. One good note on all the stuff we're talking about, mostly negative and positive, but we have to talk about it. It's what our world's about right now. But I'm happy to report that when it comes to extinction, that white rhinos have increased 34,000% in birth rates and coming back from their extinction.
34,000%?
34,000%. I don't know what that translates into, how many rhinos that can be. Let's see here. By 2011, numbers had increased from fewer than 50 to over 17,000.
Wow.
Okay. Yeah. Good to hear. Good to hear. So that's my one little, if you call it a feel-good story to end the show. But in the age of extinction, nice to see that take place. All right, Sammy, anything special for the audience?
Yeah. So if you guys know me, you know, I work for Penthouse World Media, and I'm the production manager. So I oversee our films and some of our photo shoots, and I oversee all of our Penthouse pets as the director of pet projects. Also, you guys know that I host shit, host radio, TV, et cetera. So now I've merged both together. So I've been hosting Penthouse Instagram live shows. If you go to Instagram tomorrow, if this goes up today or tomorrow, but Thursday, tomorrow. 25th, if you're listening to this and you want to see more of me interviewing Rob Van Dam, Impact Wrestling star, also wrestling star of WWE and a million other things, with his wife, Katie Forbes. I'm interviewing them both on Penthouse Instagram Live at 2 p.m. So check it out. Come join us.
Very cool. Very cool. Sammy, TJ?
What?
Anything special? Signing off.
Also, wait,
yeah, I know.
Follow Sam's Pajama Party Instagram, the Single Life Twitter, if you want to see me be very political, which most people don't. And then Facebook is Sammy Phillips.
She's one of a kind. Sam Phillips.
Right. Totally. TJ?
Yeah, I don't know. At TJ DeSantis on Twitter. Yesterday, as people get this, we did a brand new show of Extra Rounds. You can find it on the UFC Fight Pass Facebook page. I was joined by Mickey Gall, Dean Thomas, my co-host. We get you ready for the upcoming UFC, which is Saturday night at the Apex, which is where we will see you next, Buff.
Yep, exactly. All right, and for me, yes, just like TJ just said, I'll be in the Octagon Saturday. I'll be in Abu Dhabi next month. Everybody also, too, we are on YouTube. Just look up Bruce Buffer It's Time podcast on YouTube and subscribe to our YouTube channel. We'll be having giveaways once we reach 5,000 plus. We'll be having giveaways, and they will include, when we have audiences again, tickets to the UFC. It'll also include championship introductions, videos from me. There'll be prizes that we'll put out there, but you have to be a subscriber to the YouTube channel to be eligible for that. I'm Bruce Buffer UFC at Instagram. I'm at Bruce Buffer on Twitter. I will see you from the Octagon. Sammy, love you. Thank you very much for being on the show. We'll have you back as soon as possible again. As always, TJ, thank you very much. You have a great week, my friend. All right, everybody, set your goals, write them down. Be COVID-19 conscious. Please be part of the solution, not part of the problem. But again, be a role model to your sphere of influence. That's what it's all about. Be the best you can be. Learn about your goals before you set on the path. And when you set on the path and when you step out your house today during everything we're being involved in, COVID-19, be safe, keep your distance, wear your mask, but be the best you can be, perform the best you can, be the best person inside and out that you can, and then you're winning. That's what we're all about on the show, negative talk, positive talk. It's all about winning and being the best you can be. Sammy, again, thank you for being the best you can be. TJ, you're always that too, and I will continue to do the best I can do to be the best I can be on this world. Okay, that's about it. It's about winning, and I'll be back next week. Love everybody. Thank you for listening. Subscribe to our show. Write into brucebuffer.com for your videos, your championship introductions. You're keeping me busy can be. And with that being said, Buffer out.
Xfinity XFi is more than just fast. It's internet that gives you peace of mind security. Because if it's connected, it's protected. Yeah, even your robot vacuum. Can your internet do that? Learn more at xfinity.com/XFi.
Advancements in the medical field are giving nurses faster, more effective results than ever before. They should expect the same from their education, too. Capella University's game-changing FlexPath format allows you to set your own deadlines and leverage your experience to move faster through your program. So the faster you move, the more money you save. When you're ready, we'll be here. Visit capella.edu for a trial course at no cost to you. Capella University. Don't just learn, learn smarter.